So today's scripture reading comes from James 4, 1 to 10. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you.
May I ask Reverend Paul to give the message today.
Thank you, Eddie. Good morning, church.
Morning.
Yeah, the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. See, I know Justin, Pastor Justin, for many years, and so we are good friends, and Pastor James too. Great to join you in worship this morning, and we want to thank Pastor Justin and his team for leading us in worshiping the Lord, and we should really give thanks to God for this freedom to worship the Lord here in our country. So as you follow the internet news or whatever news you follow, you notice that, you know, that freedom is not, you know, available to our brothers and sisters around the world, especially in China today. Now, you may not hear it, but the suppression, the oppression is very severe. So I encourage you to pray not only for your church, the South Vancouver Pacific Grace, but also pray for your brothers and sisters in China. They are suffering. Now, anyway, now some years ago, I hope I know how to operate this. Ah, there it goes. Some years ago, the world was shocked to hear the news about a female astronaut. Now, she attempted to kidnap a female colleague with the intention to kill her. That's serious. Now, this well-educated, well-trained scientist wearing astronaut diapers. I'm sure you've heard of it, right? Astronaut diapers. It's just like the diapers that seniors wear today, right? She wore astronaut diapers to avoid frequent pit stops, drove from Houston, Texas, to Orlando, Florida, altogether 1,600 kilometers nonstop. Now, she wanted to prevent her romantic rival from meeting with a male colleague, another astronaut, whom she claimed to love. Now, she wanted to have the sole possession of that man, all to herself. Now, with that kind of mind, with that kind of intention, you wonder, why did a sophisticated and talented woman commit such a crime? Ruining herself and almost destroying others. Now, James, Jesus' younger brother, explains such behavior as follows. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Now, because James is writing to Jewish Christians, we can safely assume and say that this kind of behavior is found in the church today too. Now, jealousy and selfish ambition unchristlike emotions. It's easy for us to be drawn into wrong desires by the pressures of society and sometimes by well-meaning Christian brothers and sisters. And social media such as Reddit, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, or maybe the Chinese one, WeChat, right, etc., make it worse in many cases. Each of us can easily be drawn into greed and destructive competitiveness. Now, James discusses the problem of disorder and vile practice further in today's Bible passage Eddie read it for us today. Now, James asks us a question right off the bat. What causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? To James, the answer is obvious. The obvious answer is it not this? That your passions are at war within you, inside you. Now, the word passions refers to the pleasures of life. Now, we all want to live a pleasurable life, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, our Father in heaven wants us to enjoy all the good things he gives to us. You know, after all, he's the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Now, when we are content with God's blessings, it is for our own gain. It is great if we can be content and satisfied. But we may desire something that is not ours or something that is not lawful for us to possess. And then this becomes an evil desire. This becomes lust. And there is a potential battle within us. When evil desires take a firm hold of us, we become selfish and greedy. And this inevitably leads us to quarrels and fights, as James says, with others. Because, surprise, surprise, others want the same things too, right? For example, career advancement, dating the same person, money, power, enjoyment, prestige, or what have you. We trample down each other in the rush to grab what we desire, what we want. I remember Black Friday is so far away, another maybe 7 months, and or Boxing Day sales. People elbow their way into the Walmart, into Best Buy or whatever, right, to get a good bargain. And surprise, surprise, right, other people want the same thing. And sometimes fights and quarrels break out, and sometimes people even die. Thank goodness, I don't think anybody has died in Canada yet. But in the United States, you know, people have died. Now, James says, but each person, I got the wrong thing. Okay, but anyway, too fast. Okay, James says, you desire and do not have. You murder, you covet, and cannot obtain. You fight and quarrel, you do not have, because you do not ask. James uses extremely violent language. Some think that is a metaphor for the devastating effect of unrestrained hostility. But others think that it should be taken literally of people killing each other. You may ask, really? Even among Christians? Well, you know, in this day and age, we shouldn't be surprised by such kind of thought, by such kind of action, even inside a church. Last month, a pastor in Toronto was charged by drowning his pregnant wife because he wanted to continue in an affair. Now, his wife was in his way, and so he wanted to get rid of her to gratify his lustful desire. Yes, there are people who would do anything to get what they want, like that female astronaut. They may even want to eliminate their rivals James says this, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now the sad thing is, the heart remains unsatisfied and still has an insatiable appetite for more, even after all this bitter fighting, quarreling, and killing. I don't believe and I don't hope that fights or quarrels will break out among you, and definitely not murder. And yet, I believe that it is to our benefit that we should carry out the following checkup regularly. Has God given me many blessings? I'm sure yes. God has given you many, many blessings. But are you content with God's blessings? You know, there's an old classical hymn which says, count your blessings, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. And then you will rejoice in the Lord. I want a pleasurable life, but are there selfish desires battling within me, even at this moment, as you sit in God's presence in the house of the Lord, listening to God's servant preaching his sermon, God's sermon to you? Are there selfish desires battling within you? Do my selfish desires cause conflict at home, at work, in church, or in school? Now, when we put ourselves, S-E-L-F, when we put ourselves first, we are bound to get us into trouble. Our selfish desires will likely cause conflict between us and others. And when we put ourselves first, conflict even occurs between God and us. You say, how's that possible? How's that possible? Well, listen to James. You do not have, because you do not ask God. Now, James reminds us that we should ask God for what we seek rather than fighting each other. Now, James is not implying that God grants every selfish, sinful desire. James is not saying that. But presenting our request to God in prayer can have a purifying influence on our desires. I'm sure you have heard from your pastors who teach you, prayer is not about us. Prayer is about God. Through prayer, God changes us. Prayer is not a tool for us to change God, but through prayer, God changes us. And so there is that purifying influence on our desires when we pray to God, when we present them to God. And a conflict occurs between God and us because, according to James, you ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, not all prayers are pleasing to God, especially those that seek only to gratify self-centered pleasures. Such prayers aren't for God's glory and our real good. God knows that, even though we don't. We are so foolish as to be blinded by our selfish desires. I want it, just like babies, right? I want it, when I want it, I want to get it. Now, as a result, we grumble against God because God hasn't granted it to us. We grumble against God for not loving us, for not caring about our needs. How foolish. And this morphs into conflict between God and us very easily. Now, James uses strong language to rebuke Christians in this situation. He raises his voice and says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, James's readers are mainly Jews. The expression adulterous people bluntly reminds them of their ancestors' unfaithfulness to God. In Old Testament times, Israel often behaved like an adulterous wife towards God, the faithful husband. Now go home and read the book of Hosea, and then you know what I mean. Now, Israel worshipped Baal and other false gods. Now, James uses the same imagery here to depict the church and individual Christians who seek friendship with the world. In so doing, the Christians, the church, commit spiritual adultery against God. Now, friendship with the world means that we pursue worldly riches and pleasures, prestige and fame at the expense of our relationship with God. And when we embrace the world to fulfill our selfish desires, this is hatred toward God. It's just like we are having an affair with the world, and we invite a hated rival into the marriage bed. And we are telling Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our heavenly spouse, that we are not satisfied with him. We are unfaithful because Jesus Christ is not enough for us. And so let us ask ourselves, am I committing spiritual adultery? Do I give myself and my desires a higher priority than God? Does my boyfriend or girlfriend, family, academic achievement, career, material goods, entertainment, fame, or status mean more to me than my commitment to Jesus Christ, my Lord? You know, just now when we were singing the song set, right? Yeah, we want to thank Pastor Justin for selecting those songs. It really helps us to reflect on our status in the presence of God. It really helps us understand how we are related to God through Jesus Christ, what Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross. Our selfish desires cause conflict between others and us, as well as God and us. So what's the cure for conflict? How do we resolve that conflict? Well, the cure for conflict is God himself. James says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Our pride makes us self-centered and leads us to conclude that we deserve all we can see, touch, or imagine. It creates greedy appetites for far more than we need. Now, God often intervenes and rebukes a proud person. I'm sure you have experienced that. I have definitely experienced that in my walk with the Lord for that many years. But sometimes God allows proud people to go on in their foolishness and find out their mistakes for themselves. Until we admit that ourselves is the cause for conflict, we won't come to God for help, unless we own up to our selfish, evil desires. We won't pray to God for forgiveness. We may still think, I deserve that. I should have it. You know, God, why can't you? Why don't you give it to me? Unless we realize and recognize that that's an evil desire. It doesn't help us. It harms us more than helping us. Then, and only then, will we come before God and ask God for forgiveness. You know, we can be set free from selfish desires by humbling ourselves before God. Then we will realize that all we need is God's approval, nothing else. If we are pleasing in God's sight, we get everything. God will bless us. But if we try to strive on our own to get what we want, that could be displeasing to God. And here God is telling us, or through James, you know, he is telling us, He's telling us that we should humble ourselves before the Lord. Then we will realize that we really need, all we really need is God's approval. Now, because of our humility, God gives us grace to do what is right. And so James encourages us, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, humbling ourselves before God means complete dependence on God in resolving conflict caused by selfish desires. And when we humble ourselves before God, we tell God that we are at his mercy. Now, another way to put an end to selfish desires is submission to God. And so James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, submission in this context, now your pastors can tell you, the word is a military term, meaning to be of a lower rank, to rank under somebody. Now, we submit ourselves to God because God is our commander-in-chief. We are to yield to his authority. We are to give him the control of our lives. We are to get our desires aligned with his. Now, what is alignment? I believe all of you drive, right? Drivers know that wheel alignment is very important for driving. When the wheels of a car are out of alignment, they tend to pull the car to the left or to the right, depending on the alignment. So what do you do? Well, do you change tires? Of course not, right? Changing tires would cost you more money and doesn't really solve the problem. The proper way to stop the wheels from pulling the car to the left or right is to get the front end aligned. Now, submission to God, our commander-in-chief, is the proper way to get our desires, to get our lives aligned with God's plan and God's will for us. When we rank under God, when we rank under the authority of God, we invite him to take control of our lives. We invite God to get rid of the evil desires that we may have. We invite God to help us to be content and satisfied with him. Then the conflict between us and others, as well as God and us, will disappear. Now, when we yield to God's authority completely and align our desires with his, there is someone who doesn't like it at all. And you know who that someone is. That someone is God's arch enemy, and yours and mine arch enemy as well. That is Satan, the devil. He will try every trick in the book to weaken our submission to God. And so James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if we are not completely submissive, if we are half-hearted, sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't, Satan has nothing to be afraid of you. You know, if he knows that Paul Lamb is half-hearted towards God, sometimes Paul Lamb follows the footsteps of God, and sometimes he doesn't, he goes on his own way, he wanders off. Satan says, Paul Lamb is, you know, is a piece of cake. I can take it and have it too. I can eat it too, right? And so if we are half-hearted towards God in our submission to him, there's nothing Satan will be afraid of us, okay? And Satan will play on our pride. He will start whispering things like, don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, you deserve the sole possession of that whatever, PlayStation 5. Is there a PlayStation 5 today? No. Oh, because it doesn't make money, right? Okay, but anyway. Don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You deserve the sole possession of Huawei. You know Huawei, right? Yeah, I was told that the camera is the best in the world. You know, it takes very good pictures. Now, don't go and buy the camera after the service, okay? So, or Satan may say to you, ignore the Holy Spirit. Get even with so-and-so. Who does he or who does she think she is or he is? And when we cannot resist the devil, he'll make us say things or do things that can never be undone, resulting in broken relationships, ruining ourselves and others. And the worst of all is, we will regret it for the rest of our lives. Now, Satan is very smart at tempting us. We need the power to frighten him away. And that's why James says we need to draw near to God and God will draw near to us. Drawing near to God involves something more than just praying. It calls for a full surrender to God. Our letting go of anything that comes between us and God, our walking closely with God daily. If we draw near to God, we quit fighting God's plan for us, we put ourselves fully under God at God's disposal, we find our greatest joy in doing His will. Sometimes, even though that something is boring, it's monotonous. But if we follow God, obey God, and do what God tells us to do, in the end, you find joy. You find joy. I have done that myself many times. Sometimes I'm so stupid. You know, I think Paul M. knows everything. But in the end, I suffer, right? Until I come under God's authority. Drawing near to God is the ultimate expression of the life of faith, of complete dependence on God. And the closer we are to God, the farther we'll be away from the arch enemy. And the farther we'll be away from the world that is full of temptations. Now, according to the Christian calendar, Pastor Justin referred to it just now, this is the season of Lent. It's a period of 40 days that comes before Easter. It's a time of reflection and preparation for the celebration of Easter. This year, Easter falls on April the 21st, right? By observing the 40 days of Lent until Palm Sunday, which is April the 14th, we imitate Jesus Christ's sacrifice and withdrawal into the desert for 40 days. During this time, some Christians would eat sparingly or would even go on fasting, right? Or some would give up a particular food or habit. For example, if you like eating chocolate, then maybe, you know, for 40 days, you know, I don't eat chocolate, right? Or you like surfing the net, maybe, you know, for 40 days, I don't open my laptop, right? Or visit social media or play video games, right? It's 6 weeks of self-discipline. The key is not to brag about our sacrifices for the Lord. The key is to focus on repenting of sin and consecrating ourselves once again to God. Now, how do we draw near to God? We need to repent of our sin, of pride, of disobedience, of insubmission, of greed, of selfishness. And so James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Cleansing hands is an outward, external cleansing, a cleaning up of our language, our mind, our heart, our habits, our actions, what have you. And as double-minded people who waver between God and the world, we need to purify our heart, asking the Holy Spirit to remove any idol that is occupying first place in our lives. We need to invite Jesus Christ to sit in the rightful place in our lives. And that we need to be resolved in our mind, in our heart, that we should follow Jesus Christ and not the world. Now, as we come closer to God, the Holy Spirit makes us realize that our selfish desires hurt more than not just hurting us, but they hurt those whom we love and those who love us. And therefore, James says, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now, there's nothing wrong with joy and laughter, right? We laugh, and just now you laugh too. But we need to turn the temporary joy of winning a conflict, that is, you know, getting what you want and, you know, beating somebody to getting something. And we need to turn that temporary joy of winning a conflict to mourning, because we have destroyed a relationship, because we have hurt the body of Christ. We need to be wretched and mourn and weep. We need to be, James says, we need to be sorrowful for the conflict. Don't minimize what happened. James says we should repent. Let there be tears for the wrong we have done. And above all, let us be willing to ask God for forgiveness. And if we have trampled on somebody along the way, ask that somebody to forgive us as well. And so as I close, another set of reflection. Do I have the liberation of giving up my own right because I submit to God? Or I cling on to my right, I insist on my right every time I deal with people around me, I deal with God? What am I going to do to be right with God and with others? Now, South of Vancouver Pacific Grace, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to reflect on our relationship with the Lord, not only during this season of Lent, but regularly, daily. As we do, the Holy Spirit may encourage us to give up our worldly living, to lay down our worldly desires at the foot of the cross. And we may be urged to recommit our lives to God, to be living for Jesus Christ. Now, as I sum up James's teaching this morning, let's ask ourselves one fundamental question. And that is our aim in life through this journey here on earth to submit to the will of God or to gratify our own desires every step of the way for the pleasures of this world? What's your answer? The Apostle John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now remember, the best solution, the best cure for conflict is to humble ourselves before God and to submit to him and to say no to ourselves and to say yes to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Unfriend the world, and befriend God, even today. And God is speaking to you. Are you willing? I'm sure there is that tug of war, you know, after the service, after Sunday school, or whatever. I'm going to see somebody, I'm going to go to the mall, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. I know it's a big struggle. But humble yourself. Submit to God. Rank under God. Come under God's authority. The Holy Spirit will help you to make the right choice. And I say this once again. It's not that God doesn't want us to have fun in life. God wants us to have abundant, tons of fun. But he wants us to have fun in the right way, according to his will, according to his plan for us. Unfriend the world and befriend God. Then your life will be full of joy, will be full of laughter, will be full of fun. Amen.